Did you ever hear the story about the nuclear physicist and his chauffeur? There was this guy that chauffeured this nuclear physicist around. He would speak at these prestigious universities. And so one day he said to the scientist, he said, "You know what, I've done these so many times, I can do what you do." So the nuclear physicist said, let's change uniforms. So the chauffeur puts on his uniform and the nuclear guy puts on chauffeur uniform. He gets up and he starts speaking. Chauffeur. He's not 10 minutes into the speech, guy raises his hand and asks him a question. He said to the guy, he said, "You know what, this is one of the most prestigious universities on the planet. And I'm embarrassed at that question. That has got to be one of the dumbest questions I have ever received in all my years of traveling. It is so ridiculous, I'm going to refer it to my chauffeur." I'm doing a conference with MacArthur, and I'm in a Q&A. This guy asked me a question from Deuteronomy. I didn't have a clue what he was asking me. So I told that story. And I said, "I just got to tell you people, that is one of the dumbest questions I've ever gotten in my life. And I'm going to refer it to my chauffeur," and I pointed to MacArthur. He stands up and he says, "I don't have a clue what he's asking," and he sat back down. Oh, me. All right. We talked about this stuff, but let me just mention again, the old-fashioned guard your Social Security number. We talked about that. Don't give personal information over the telephone. Be careful what you throw in the garbage. We talked about that. IRS will never email you about your return or inform you of a refund by email or by telephone. Beware of people offering great deals for you to invest your money. If you've been taken, swallow your pride and report it. Don't use the ATM machine unless it's your bank. Why pay a fee to use your money? So if you bank at the Bank of America, use the Bank of America's ATM machine at the branch. We talked about that. Don't be afraid to ask for the senior's discount at the when you shop. All right, let's get into this. Stewardship is not just money, time, or talent. Stewardship is all of these and more. Stewardship is the very life that God has given us. And someday we shall be responsible to give an account of it all to Him. That's out of David Jeremiah's book on finance. How many of you listen to David? Dave Jeremiah. You've got to be kidding me. Really? Are you serious? I grew up with David in Toledo. He's a dear friend. John and him have a great relationship, by the way. Two precious freedoms, the right to accumulate an estate, the right to give it away before and after you die. $250 million per week goes into probate court undesignated. $250 million per week goes into probate court undesignated. Millions of dollars per year go to federal and state treasuries because people die without wills and without heirs. 30% of adults have a will written correctly, which means 70% do not. This is talking about a will. Less than 10% of adults have done any serious estate planning. You'll get that more as we get into this. 11 of 12 women will become widows. And will be widows for an average of 11 and a half years. That's a pretty startling statistic. Why spend 40 years acquiring an estate, 10 years trying to conserve it, but not 2 hours on what you're going to do with it? Shake off any notion that you need to be rich before you need an estate plan. If you're like most Christians, tax considerations take a far back seat to the top priority of estate planning, taking care of your heirs and the Lord's work. What's at stake is perhaps best seen by conjuring up the mess you can leave behind if you procrastinate all the way to the grave and die without a will. Your state's rules of intestacy will provide a one-size-fits-all estate plan for you. That simply means that you either have had a will prepared or the state of Washington has one prepared for you. Contrast that to the almost unlimited flexibility that's yours if you write a comprehensive estate plan, including a will and living trust. You have the right to name the guardian of your choice. You can slice the pie however you choose. You want grandmother's hutch to go to a favorite niece, your home to your church, no problem if you have an estate plan. Basic terminology. Tessitura, tessitrix, person who makes a will. Tessitura is a male, tessitrix is a female. Surprised you're not using test a person today. A will is a writing that provides for the distribution of property upon the death of the writer, but which confers no rights prior to that time. I recommend you use an attorney. Attorneys are professionals. They know the laws of the state of Washington. They know the federal laws. You want an attorney, don't go to the Yellow Pages. There's still Yellow Pages. Don't go to the Yellow Pages or wherever you go to pick out an attorney. You get an attorney by referral. By referral. Codicils, how you would amend a will. You don't ever strike something out on a will that you've had prepared and right above it you could void the whole document. You need to do a legal amendment called a codicil. You do live in a community property state. There's only 9 of them in the United States. Property acquired during a valid marriage while domiciled in a community property state with the exception of property acquired by gift. My wife and I live in a community property state. We lived up here for 10 years. Now we live in California, both community property states. Whatever we accumulate during our marriage belongs equally to each other. Passing your estate in a community property state from spouse to spouse is not difficult. If I die, she owns half, she gets my half at my death. No problem. And vice versa. It's the second death is where it gets complicated. Okay? Let's say my wife's dad passes away. And she inherits $50,000 from his estate and she puts it in her checking account. That's separate property. Not community property. It has to pass according to her will or her trust if she dies. She puts it in our joint checking account and becomes community property. Let's say her dad dies and leaves her his home. And her name is on the deed. Separate property. She puts my name on the deed with her name, community property. Important issue. Executor or personal representative is someone who takes care of the estate for a person who dies. This is a will. Now, guardianship. 2001, there was a court case in Connecticut. There was two couples living across the street from each other. One was a pastor and his wife. Godly pastor, good solid church. Across the street from them were the couple that belonged to the church. They had a 3-year-old daughter. The couple across the street had a will prepared that if something happens to them, the pastor and his wife would become the guardians. The couple were killed in an accident. The pastor and his wife took the 3-year-old daughter into their home, assuming that they would be the guardians. The lady on their block wrote a letter to social services complaining that the pastor was a religious fanatic. Social services came in, took the little girl, and put her in a foster home. Pastor's wife challenged it in court and lost. They took it to appellate court and lost. They took it to the Connecticut Supreme Court and lost. They lost all the way because the judge had final say. They were encouraged to take it to the U.S. Supreme Court. They didn't do it because to get on the docket's not easy. And then if they'd have got on the docket, by the time it would have been adjudicated, that 3-year-old probably would have been a teenager. And they doubt if they would have even won that the Supreme Court would have taken her out of that foster home. So the couple wrote an article. World Magazine, it appeared in 2001. In their article, this is what they recommended on guardians. Guardians are for minor children under the age of 18. Number one, favor relatives over third parties wherever possible. You're trying to insulate from a judge what you're trying to accomplish and give him reason not to go against your nomination. Remember, when it comes to minors, you nominate them. You don't appoint them, guardians. The judge has final say. That's why a judge has to be involved. And that is set in place to protect those children. Because there's people that could nominate a couple to take care of their children, something happens and there could be something in that couple's life that they weren't aware of. So the judge can come in and protect those children. Okay? So if they say favored relatives, obviously the number one criteria is a godly home. If you don't have a godly home within the family, then you're going to have to step outside of the family. That's what's nice about a church like this. Number two, develop a relationship between the child and the person you've named. We told our kids when they were probably 10, 13 years old, Jim and Pam. We told them after we did our will, we said to them, now, you need to know if something happens to Mom and Dad, Uncle Don and Aunt Peggy are going to be your new Mom and Dad. So we told them that. became an issue when we disciplined them.
Why do we have to wait till you die?
I remember telling my son sometimes, life isn't fair, son. You're stuck with me. Number three, name at least three potential guardians. Primary one, alternate one, alternate two. Why? Very difficult for a judge to turn down all three. It'd be very tough. Number four, you can write a testimony in your will why you selected the people you selected. It could be family reasons, financial reasons, spiritual reasons. You're giving the judge all the information at his disposal to encourage him to make the decision you would have wanted him to make if you were still here. Remember, you're gone. You're gone. I've got grandkids. I've sat down with my children and their spouses, and I have insisted that they get a will, a pour over will, to take care of this guardianship issue. Trustee is a person designated to administer money and property for another's benefit. Minors don't inherit money. If mom and dad die and they're minors, that money goes into a trust fund managed by a trustee until the kids become of age. And in your documents, you can declare at what age do they get that money. Some say at 20, some say at 30, some say at 40. You can do that. You can do that. Tenancy in common, tenancy by entirety, joint tenancy with right of survivorship is how you pass ownership outside a will or a trust. Typically, you see joint tenancy with right of survivorship, the third one. If you went to your bank tomorrow and had the bank show you your signature cards for your checking account, it would probably have your name, your spouse's name, with the initials JTRS. That means joint tenancy with right of survivorship. That means if one dies, the survivor gets immediate access and immediate ownership. You see that in the deeds to your property. If you have a piece of property, you see the deed, look at the deed, you'll see your names and JTRS. Everything, estate tax is the everything tax. That's an excise tax levied on the transfer of a person's property by the federal government in excess of the unified credit. This has gone through major changes in the last 20 years. When I started doing seminars, the unified credit was $250,000. That meant that the first $250,000 of anybody's estate would pass to their heirs tax-free. The next dollar would be taxed at 37%. Could go up to as high as 55%. Now the unified credit is $5,450,000. So the first $5,450,000 of somebody's estate goes to the heirs tax-free. That's really changed. You're going to see them messing with that because we need money to pay down the debt. Where is money in estates? So you'll probably see, you would have seen it with the Democratic nominee. I don't know what Trump will do. I really don't know. Time will tell how this all unfolds. I would be surprised if he'd come after estates, but you don't know. Heritage tax, state death tax. I do most of these in California. California got rid of theirs in 1982. There's still a little inheritance tax in Washington, as I understand it. Go to page 3. What happens when you make your will? We're talking about a will now. You exercise your right to decide how your property will be distributed. You also do this with a trust. Provide for your heirs in a way that you choose. You make sure that others won't distribute your property according to their whims or uninformed opinions. It could be the state of Washington. You keep your property from going to undeserving people. You can disinherit. I did one in Idaho a few years ago, and the guy raised his hand. He said to me, I just disinherited my son from my estate planning. And I said, why? He told me he walked away from the Lord. I said, oh, really? I said to him, I just want to ask you one question. What happens if you die and your son gets his life right at your funeral? He didn't have an answer to that one. That's tough. Number 5, you use a channel, written will, to permit charitable bequests. Don't forget the Lord's will. Folks, by the grace of God, we have what we have. My wife and I purposed a long time ago, as part of our financial plan, Lord willing, we're going to accumulate an estate. The idea of leaving part of the estate behind for eternal purposes while we are in eternity is a great concept. So I've taught that for years. Don't forget the Lord's will. Start with your local church. Number 6, you provide guardians for your children if they're needed. They're minors under 18. Number 7, you avoid misunderstandings among your heirs. People, I could write a book on this one. Of biological brothers and sisters who don't speak today because of the way mom and dad's antiques and heirlooms were divided at death. I witness a fist fight in a funeral home between two brothers. The dad's laying in a casket. He had a gun collection. The two brothers were fighting over the gun collection. We had to take them outside and break it up. They got in a fist fight in a funeral home. So that doesn't happen. Baloney. Money does strange things to people. Mom and dad with a little bit of forethought could prevent that kind of stuff from happening. Number 8, you have the final word in fulfilling your goals, a good provider, a good citizen, a good steward of your property. What is if you don't have a will, you die intestate? We talked about that. The state steps in. If you have a will, now check to see if there's been a change in your marital status. Second marriages are difficult. It takes counsel because you've got two separate families involved. So it takes good counsel to work through that. What do you want to do with this estate? Has there been a change in your health status? If you've been diagnosed with a potentially fatal illness, make sure your estate planning house is in order. I counseled with a woman about a year ago. Her husband died of cancer 6 months before, no, died of cancer 6 months before he died. He canceled his life insurance and never told her. So she thought there was life insurance. There was no life insurance. Unbelievable. Number 3, have you moved to another state since making your will? Wills are a state-by-state issue. Number 4, are your beneficiaries still living, still worthy? You review it. My wife and I sit down during the bowl games every other year and read our will and trust, our pour-over will and our living trust, to make sure it says what we want it to say. You have a tendency to forget. Some of you in here have estate planning done. I would gather that you've thrown in a safety deposit box and forgotten about it. When's the last time you looked at it? When's the last time you reviewed it? Number 5, you want to keep the same executor, guardian, or trustee? Number 6, do you still own the specific properties that were mentioned? I'm doing a seminar, I think it was in Kansas. A widower has 2 sons, he has 2 apartment buildings. His estate planning said when he dies, this son gets this one and this son gets this one. He sold this apartment building and forgot to amend his estate planning. And I'm sitting in a seminar and I say this and a light goes on. And he goes, oh me. So he goes and gets it amended to take care of the change. Number 7, is your family secure enough to permit you to switch some bequests from them to charitable organizations? My son-in-law is a physician. My son's a CPA. We've told our kids, as you get on financially, we're probably going to leave more to the Lord's work and less to you kids. They don't come to my seminars anymore. They think they're getting their legs cut off. You may need to reveal your will or trust with your attorney. Page 4. What to do in the case of the death of your spouse? I'm doing a seminar in Montana. Probably 25 years ago. And they asked me to stay over another day because 2 women in the church had become widows just before I got there. And they didn't know what to do. So I stayed over an extra day to sit down with them, give them some counsel. Came home Monday night, sit down dining room table with my wife, and I said, honey, we need to review all this. If my plane would have hit a mountain coming home from Montana tonight, would you have known exactly what to do? Well, she hesitated a little bit. So we sat down and we put this checklist together. And we answered all these questions. Then I took all the documents that pertain to our marriage. I started with our marriage license. Then I took the deed to the property, titles to the 2 cars, our retirement plan documents, life insurance. Put that all in a pile. Put a rubber band around it. Then we answered all these questions on a piece of 8.5 by 14 yellow pad paper. And I added to this passwords. She doesn't know some of my passwords. I don't know some of her passwords, and frankly don't want to know. But I need to know them if something happens. So we listed all this out. I wrapped these answers around the paperwork, put it in our safety deposit box. If I kick the bucket flying home back to LAX this afternoon, this evening. My wife goes to the safety deposit box tomorrow, gets out the documents, put them on the dining room table, after she grieves, of course. Five minutes, because the next 5 minutes she'll be planning the cruise. She knows where everything is at. She knows exactly what she has to do. She knows who manages the retirement funds. She knows who manages our personal account. She knows where our savings accounts are. She knows everything. It's all laid out. I still have life insurance. It expires in January. But she knows who the life insurance agent is. She knows all that. She knows all my passwords. She knows. Every one of you need to do that within the next 30 days. You need to go through this checklist with your spouse. You never know. Things happen, folks. Things happen. Something happens to my wife and I. My son is the successor trustee of the trust. He's on the signature cards of the safe deposit box. He would go to the safe deposit box, get our documents, take them home, put them on his dining room table. He knows exactly what to do. The minute he has cash from our estate, he can begin distributing it. A third to himself, a third to his sister, and a third to the Lord's work. Slick as a whistle. It's not complex. Look at the bottom statement. Too often, a lot of time and money could be spared if the departed spouse could return for 20 minutes and answer a few simple questions. Wouldn't you have liked to sit down with that widow a month before her husband died and take her through this list and ask her about the worst of life insurance policies? Honey, I canceled them. He wouldn't have died of natural causes. Page 5. Now, let's talk about the revocable family trust. I was concerned about the cost of probate and the delay of probate. This goes back years ago. So I said, okay, I want to put together a living trust for our estate. So we had the attorney draft the trust for us. And then you got to fund the trust. It's called the Rickard Family Trust. Last name is Rickard. Rickard Family Trust. My wife and I are co-trustees. We control the trust. We can change the trust anytime we want as long as one of us are alive. The minute the second death occurs, the trust becomes irrevocable. It's cast in concrete. My son is successor trustee. My wife and I die. He's a successor trustee. He distributes the assets according to the dictates of the trust. He cannot change the trust. Only my wife and or I can change the trust. We then funded the trust with our deeded entitled assets. My checking account doesn't say James W. Rickard or Joan E. Rickard. Our checking account says Rickard Family Trust. James W. Rickard, Joan E. Rickard Trustees. So any money that's in our checking account is owned by the trust. We are the trustees, so we control it. My life insurance beneficiary is not my wife. The Rickard Family Trust. Why? I die. She inherits the proceeds from the life insurance and puts it in her personal checking account. And then she dies. You're into probate. So the beneficiary of my life insurance is the Rickard Family Trust. If I die, the proceeds go to the Rickard Family Trust. She's survivor trustee. She has access to it as though it was in her name. But there's no probate. Whatever you put into the trust circumvents probate. You've taken probate out of your life. My wife and I don't own our home anymore. It's owned by the Rickard Family Trust. All our deeded and title assets are owned by the trust. Let me say it to you this way. I said it earlier. When you pass the ownership of your assets by will, you pass that ownership under probate law. When you pass the ownership of your assets at your death by trust, you pass that ownership under contract law. Wills are a state-by-state issue. Trusts are a federal issue. It's not controlled by the states. It's controlled by the federal government. It's federally mandated. And it's honored by all 50 states. Someone will say to me, my state doesn't recognize a trust. Baloney. That is a federal issue, not a state issue. Now, having said that, you had an attorney in this state for a number of years by the name of William Ellis, Skeeter Ellis. Skeeter was a wonderful Christian. I knew him for years. He was at the Baptist Church in Linwood. He was an attorney for our foundation. He was in the legislature. And he pushed through the legislature a simplification of the estate planning process in the state of Washington. Washington is one of the simplest probate states in the country. Indiana is rather simple. California is very complex. But even with a simple probate state like Washington, when I lived here, I had a living trust. Because I don't want the government involved in my life after I die. I want the government out of my life. And at any session of your state legislature, this can change. All it takes is a vote. So I want to insulate my estate from the government, from probate. So that's why I would have a living trust if I lived in the state of Washington. All right. Look at the advantages of a revocable living trust. Whatever you have funded into the trust bypasses probate. You've taken probate out of your life. Then in addition, you have a personal property section of the trust where you can list your personal property assets. I have a lady who has been part of our ministry. Her husband was for years and years and years, and he died. So I'm the trustee of the trust. So she has 7 hutches, and they're all loaded with antiques, silver. I call it junk, but it's worth money. So I say to Monty, she's Creek. She has no children, but she has nieces and nephews. They are Choctaw, Chickasaw, Cherokee, Seminole. I mean, they represent that series of tribes. Monty, you got to make a list for me. Who gets what? Because, Monty, if you croak, die, and one of your nephews comes to me and says, Aunt Monty promised me that hutch, I can't give it to him. I'm liable. It would have to be auctioned. Said, Monty, you've got to take care of this. Monty, I don't want to be scalped. You got to take care of this. Her sister lives not too far from her. She's full-blood Cherokee. Not many of those left. Monty's Creek. When I come in, they give me a hug. I tell them it's the first time I've been surrounded by Indians. They laugh. All I need is a covered wagon. What you put in the trust bypasses probate. There will be minimal or no attorney fees at death. The attorney fees are when you have the trust prepared. Distribution can take place immediately. If my wife and I get killed, my son goes safe deposit box. He can begin to distribute the assets as soon as they're converted to cash. You just got to make sure all the bills are paid. He's the trustee. Letter D, you can revoke it or change it at any time as long as one of you are alive. Living trusts are confidential. You know, wills are a matter of public record. That's how charlatans get the widows. It's a matter of public record, not trusts. And trusts are confidential to the trustees and the heirs. Nobody else has access. It's confidential. Totally confidential. Letter F, very difficult to success a trust successfully. More difficult to contest a trust than a will. Because it's a contract. It's a contract. When you die with a will, there are public notices. Have they published in the newspaper? And that's how people can say, oh, I'm going to contest that. I think they owe me some money. And some shirt-tail relative can say, yeah, I should have a piece of that. So they can contest it. Will they win? Probably not. But it's got to go through the process. It can take months, if not years. Disadvantages of a revocable living trust. All property you wish to be distributed to the trust must be put into the trust. You have to fund the trust. An attorney will help you do that. Letter B, the trust must be maintained over your lifetime. You got to remember, if you buy a piece of property, you buy it into the trust. Buy a life insurance policy, you make the beneficiary the trust. Letter C, trusts are more expensive to create than wills because it's a contract. It's a complex contract. Go to the next page. Now, when you do a living trust, he will also do as known as a pour-over will, P-O-U-R. Pour-over will takes care of the issues you didn't do or couldn't do with the trust or forgot to do, like guardianship. Guardianship does not go through a living trust because the judge has to be involved in guardianship issues. So when you have a guardianship issue, it's through the pour-over will, which is part of the trust, comes out of the trust. All right, let's talk about powers of attorney. Look at the third one and the fourth one. Healthcare power of attorney. My dad died of a heart attack in 1986. 1984, he lived in Michigan. I'm back visiting him. He knew he was in trouble. The doctors gave him maximum a year or two to live. So he said, Jim, I don't want to be on life support. Because he knew what I did, he said, can I give you my healthcare power of attorney to make sure I'm not on life support? I said, sure, I'll do that. So he did. He has a heart attack. I fly into Detroit. They pick me up, take me to the hospital where he's at. I meet with two cardiologists. He's dead. He's gone. No brainwaves. I meet with my brother, my sister, my mother, and I said, I have the authority to take him off of life support. Let's do it. So we did it. We had to be in a room when they did it. Pretty tough to watch your dad's deal go like this. Well, many of you have been there. Durable power of attorney. My mother, 5 years later, was diagnosed with dementia. She lived in Cedarville. My brother was the vice president of Cedarville. My brother called me, Jim, mom's been diagnosed with dementia. She's still competent, but she's got dementia. I said, okay, go down and get her durable power of attorney. So he did. She filled it out, signed it. My brother transacted business for my mother until she died. Go down to the bottom. Now you got the HIPAA agreement. It's a Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. This requires appropriate safeguards to protect their privacy of personal health information. Are you people aware? If I am traveling, I'm in Marysville, and I'm hospitalized here. You know, my wife cannot get access to my health condition without a signed HIPAA agreement. Are you aware of that? It's the law of the land, 2007. 2000, Bush put that in. That's to protect the privacy of people. So our attorney prepared HIPAA agreements for my wife and for me. My wife's in the glove box of my car. Mine is in the glove box of her car. My wife and my HIPAA agreement are in the glove box of my daughter's car, my son's car, and their spouses. Something happens to my wife or I, all they got to do is fax or email a copy of the HIPAA agreement to the doctor or the hospital, and they have access to our health situation. It's the law of the land. So, folks, you've got a living trust, pour over will, durable power of health, durable power of attorney, and HIPAA agreement issues. Every one of you in this room will face this. I have already faced them all. It will happen. Ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Most people procrastinate. Most people procrastinate. I wish we were in California. I have an attorney down there who will do the living trust for $950 for any church I speak in that's in California. He can't do it outside of California. Which is really nice because if down there, if 100 of you wanted to get a trust and you don't have that capability, 20 of you will do it. When I have him, 90 of them will do it because I can connect them right with the attorney. Up here, you got to find an attorney by referral. I don't know an attorney here, but I'm sure your church could figure out somebody. Questions for me? Yes.
So you should have a lawyer do your trust. You should not do it yourself.
No, you should not do it yourself. It's just, you don't want to mess up on that deal. Why spend your life accumulating an estate and then mess up that deal? And then it becomes a problem because people say, wait a minute, wait, what in the world is she talking about here? You don't want to go there. That's why you want an attorney to do it.
Do we have an attorney up here that the church recommends?
Yeah, we have two that we could recommend.
You know what they charge?
Yeah. The will was $600.
What was the living trust?
I didn't ask.
Expensive.
Very expensive.
Well, you need to shop then, because you ought to be able to get it done for $1,500 or less. You know, if they're from a big firm, they got a lot of overhead. Just do some shopping. You want a Christian. but I'd rather have a competent pagan than an incompetent Christian. And there's a few incompetent Christians running loose. You want competence, but shop it. I would think that a church this size, if you had a number of people, you could find someone that would do it for a pretty good price. Yes?
On the guardianship issue, it says list three potential guardians. Is that like three individuals or three couples, like families?
No, individuals. Yeah. You know, number one would be your first choice, then an alternate one, alternate two. Yes.
In the living trust, you talked about making sure all the assets that you want distributed are listed.
Right.
Okay. And you mentioned, for example, your cars, titles.
Yeah. You don't put cars in a car in a trust.
Okay. All right. Well, so my question then is,
unless they're antiques,
those things that change from time to time, your assets change, you add some, you subtract some. How often then do you have to update your living trust, and do you need to bring an attorney in to make that happen?
Well, you sit down with the attorney and you say, okay, when I have to amend it, what would you charge me to amend it? Okay. But see, here's the deal. You buy a piece of property. You buy it in the name of the trust. There's nothing to amend. You just put the new property in the name of the Rickard Family Trust, which would be nice if you would do that. You buy a life insurance policy, you name the beneficiary the living trust. There's nothing to amend.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Only time you really would amend a trust is when you want to change the distribution. Okay. Instead of, if I have two kids, instead of 25, 25, and 50 to the Lord's work, I might want to go 20, 20, and 60. Then you got to amend it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I guess you say you don't put the cars in. So, is there only things of certain value that you put in?
Yeah, cars are easy to transfer. You go down to DMV with a death certificate. Very easy to transfer a car in this culture, unless they're antique cars. That would be different. But no, I don't care if you have a Mercedes. It's easy to transfer it into your spouse's name just by the DMV.
So then, the only things you put in the trust are things that you think might be divisive among the heirs later on.
Yeah, like a home. Pension plans don't go into the trust either. Pension plans pass by beneficiary.
So if you don't put the car into the trust, then you still got to put it into another type of will, because you're going to have these possessions and kids are still well dad.
That's on the second death. On the second death, you'd put that on your personal property statement, where you'd say, after the second death, the cars go to my outlaw brother-in-law. Yeah, he would do that. Here.
Many of you know my dad, Bruce Hume, came in here for 25 years. And when I came back from Florida, he sat me down and he did all of this. And it was the simplest thing in the world. He gave me a Word document. He showed me where everything was when my mom died, who had dementia. But he walked me through steps 1 through 10. And when he died, we went to everything that he did, and it was the simplest thing in the world. And I've talked to other people, and I hear their stories, and I'm like, wow, I don't believe. So I guess I would say to the parents of children, this is really, really vital, because I was the only son, because my brother died. So it was simple for me, because it was just me. But these documents saved us. And we went through two attorneys. The first attorney I felt was really dishonest, and really ripped my dad off, and I started looking at his bills, and we fired that attorney and went to another attorney and probably saved $3,000 or $4,000. But this right here is the simplest thing you can do for your children. And I'm just telling you from my point, it made my life very, very simple.
And it does. Thank you for that. Here's something else. You don't name co-trustees. My wife and I are co-trustees because we're husband and wife. But sometimes I wouldn't name my son and my daughter co-trustees, co-successor trustees. Why? What happens if they disagree? Why don't they disagree? I know of a trust in Kansas that's been held up for 7 years because the brother living next to the farm wants to sell it. Their brother living in 40 in Florida doesn't want to sell it because he's emotionally tied to it, and they're having this Donnybrook because they're both trustees. Ridiculous. They should have named the son that next to the farm, the trustee makes a decision. If the guy in Florida doesn't like it, buy him out. Buy him out. But when you make them co's, I say if you're going to name two, name three. I have women say to me, people say to me, well, I got two daughters, and I just can't pick one daughter over the other daughter. I said, why? Because I don't want to create a problem. I said to her, I said, you're in heaven. Who cares? Who cares? Do what's right for the family. Name the daughter that has the wisdom that you trust would do. Do you have, oh yeah, there's no question that she would be much better. Name her. What's the deal? Oh, man.
Is there any wisdom in having your church board be trustee?
No, they won't. They won't go for that.
They who?
The court won't go for that. You need to have name an individual.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
The things that you mentioned to put in the trust, life insurance, bank accounts. How difficult is that to change and do that?
Simple.
You just do the trust.
We got our trust prepared. Went down to our bank. My wife and I took a copy of the trust. This is what we want to do. Say, no problem. They put Rickard Family Trust, James W. Trustee, Joni Rickard Trustee, and we got new checks. Took a couple days. Yeah.
Now, if you got multiple people, you want to pass that to create multiple trusts, or you give the trust to...
Multiple people for what?
Well, if we had a granddaughter that we wanted taken care of and our son needs taken care of, is that... in one trust, or is there...
No, you do it out of the same trust. The only time you would go into a separate trust if you've got a handicapped child that needs care for the rest of their life. And I get that question. How do I take care of my handicapped grandson? Buy a life insurance policy and set up a separate trust that the trust is the beneficiary when you die for that care of that youngster. That youngster dies and you have to have a distribution on that trust of where it goes. Yeah, that's how you do that. Yes.
I was just going to say that what my parents did is instead of itemizing your personal property, they divided the money equally, and then they started with the oldest child, that's four of us, to pick what they wanted, and then the next and the next, and then after the first four, then the second oldest child would pick.
That's what this lady in Oklahoma is doing. So we've been working on it for 5 years. She's down to three items. She's probably got 300 items. I told him. I told her, you're gonna get me scalped.
So it should all be itemized instead of doing it that way.
Oh yeah, yeah. And your trust would say our personal property items are attached according to the following list, and she has to sign the list, have it witnessed. She's working on it, but it's very slow. So she's doing that. She's going to certain nephews and say, what do you want? Well, then, what are you doing now? What she's saying is that if you want it, come and get it now. Yeah. That's complex. It's very complex. But when you think about it, it's not that complex. You just got to make decisions. And some people can't make those decisions. Yes.
What happens if you don't feel like you know anybody that you can sign as...
Can sign what?
For that trust or that... what do you call it? Huh?
Well, that's what the attorney would help you do that.
But attorney would then, I could assign the attorney to take care of this stuff?
No.
You make a trustee.
You're going to have a trustee separate. You don't want the attorney to be the trustee, typically.
Okay.
You want someone, a relative, a friend.
The one that we feel we can trust as a trustee. If
something
happened to both of us.
Right. Whoever that is. There's nobody in your life that you trust to do that? They're just carrying out your wishes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a son?
Not one that I would trust to do that.
Do you have a daughter?
No.
Do you have a daughter? Do you have a son?
We don't have any.
Any outlaws?
Be a friend.
You know, ma'am, how long have you been part of this church?
What, 12 years?
12 years, yes. There's got to be somebody in here that you could trust.
Yeah.
This room's full of trust people. Pick one. Yeah, fair enough? Yeah, there's always... you can always find someone to do that. My wife and I were guardians for a bunch of people over the years, and... we just told them, don't you go on a cruise in the North Atlantic, all of you, and hit an iceberg. We'd have a Houston orphanage. You have a question?
So for second marriages?
Yeah, that gets complex.
Yeah. So should each of the spouses...
spouses have separate attorneys? Do you get the same attorney?
No, one attorney could work you through it.
But and then for a trust, do they have to have two trusts?
No, depends on what you want to do. You can do everything through the one trust. It just depends on what you want to accomplish. Okay. And an attorney will help you do that. Rarely does it require two separate trusts. But sometimes, if you have your assets, if you didn't merge them at your marriage, mm-hmm. you have two separate set of assets, which right. is complex within itself.
Right, which is the case.
Okay, and you want to give yours a certain way, you want to give his a certain way, then you may have two separate trusts.
Okay.
Yeah. That would probably simplify it.
So why is it that 70% of the wills aren't done correctly? Because they're not done through attorney?
They don't update them. They have incompetent counsel. They try to do them their own self. They have changes that are required that they procrastinate, don't do it. Yeah.
You wouldn't recommend LegalZoom then, would you?
I would recommend LegalZoom if all you've got is a guardianship issue. Then I go to LegalZoom and get a will and then nominate the guardians. But if you got assets of any if you got assets of over $100,000, I'd recommend an attorney. Yeah.
Just to clarify what he was saying.
I can't hear you.
To go on what he was saying over here about the trustee, that person is only responsible to follow, like what you say, follow what you have already decided. They don't attain anything. They don't retain anything.
No.
Nothing goes to them. They're just the person that says this is what she wants.
Okay, remember, a trust is a contract. Mm-hmm. And in the contract specifies what you want done, and that trustee carries out the trust.
Okay.
Well, at their job.
They don't regain anything.
No.
That's the concern sometimes, because you don't have them to trust to do those kinds of things.
Yeah, no, no. They have legal responsibility to do that. It's where it gets complicated, because if you have a will, then it's up to the whim of anybody and everybody. Anybody can contest it. That's where the problems occur. A living trust is a contract, and they have legal responsibilities in that contract.
So, say, okay, I choose someone. And then that person moves away, they move to another state.
Yeah, and you name somebody else.
You don't really know them.
No,
does that cost you more in attorney fees to rename someone else?
No, you just get it amended. You want to change the name of this trustee to this trustee. You can keep the same trustees even though they're living in a foreign state. That's going to complicate it because she's going to have to spend a lot of time back here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't name someone outside of the state. That gets complex. There's a lot of legal work, a lot of legwork has to be done in a trust. And someone living in New Mexico, that's a tough assignment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to this thing in Oklahoma because that's a ways away, but my ministry gives me the freedom to do that.
Right.
But not everybody has that freedom. Yes, ma'am.
I'm still confused as to what goes into a trust. Does anything that transfers by beneficiary go into a trust
no,
as well?
No. Only thing that transfers by title or beneficiary, only life insurance by beneficiary. Beneficiaries transfer retirement plans, but you don't put retirement plans in a living trust because the IRS takes a position you redeemed it, and they'll nail you for taxes.
Then what about like a bank account or something?
No, bank account would you'd put the name of the trust on the bank account, the checks. Savings account, we have a savings account. Its name of the trust is on the savings account.
And so it would not transfer by beneficiary?
No, it depends. No, the bank account would transfer by trust.
It's distributed by...
It's through the trust.
Through the trust. It specifies how it's distributed.
See, our checking account and our savings account, the money we have in our checking account... Money we have in our savings account is officially in the living trust. So if our living trust says 50% goes to my son, 50% goes to my daughter, then 50% of all the cash goes to my son, 50% of all my cash goes to my daughter. It would be the total of the cash in the checking account, the savings account. That's how that works. You don't get it?
No, because why would a beneficiary not do that?
Where would you have a beneficiary on a checking account? Payable on death, that's fine as long as something doesn't happen to the person that's payable on death at the same time. When it's in a trust, it's controlled by trustees and successor trustees. When you have a payable on death, supposing you and the person you've done payable on death get killed in the same car accident. Now what? Probate. So you would want to name the living trust, because that's protected by the succession of trustees. I wouldn't do a payment on death for my checking account. I wouldn't do that. Because what happens if I name my son? Payable upon death, my son. And my son and I are riding together and we both get killed. You got a probate issue. Where if it's in the trust name, there's no probate issue. See, my wife and I are co-trustees. My son's successor trustee. My daughter's the second successor trustee. My son-in-law is the third successor trustee. The chances of something happening to all five of us are pretty slim. That's why you do that.
The succession is the important part here. You have more than one or two people in that trust is that's named, right?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could, yeah.
So you talked about the living, or I don't know what kind of trust, but a trust to save probate costs is in a different kind of trust to protect the husband and wife if one ends up with nursing home costs.
Ends up with what?
Nursing home that wipes out the whole family. Because is there a different trust that you do to protect your assets?
Well, do you have long-term care?
No.
Okay. So if you don't have long-term care, one of you goes into long-term care, they can pierce your assets for that. So Medicare won't take care of that if you've got assets.
That, or do you recommend
Pardon?
That? Aren't there trusts that you set up to protect you from that, or do you recommend that kind of thing?
That gets complex. But there's things you can do. If you're concerned about long-term care, and you're concerned about protecting those assets, there's things you can do, but it's limited because the government's... What are you going to do? Turn to the government to take care of your long-term care needs? Okay, let me address that. And I'm going to shoot myself in the foot here. You can transfer your assets out. And if you transfer them out 5 years before you go into long-term care, the government can't touch your assets. Okay? They would have to take care of it through Medicare or whatever. I have a problem with that. What about mom's dignity? By the grace of God, I accumulated an estate to take care of my wife in her old age, or take care of me in my old age. Why turn to the government? What happened to the families? I have a problem with that. I have an ethical problem with that. I have a problem with families siphoning off money to fund their lifestyle so that the government will take care of mom and dad in their old age. I have a problem with that. I have an integrity problem with that. Now, that's me. But I would not do that. I have a problem with that. Why do we turn to the government? That's my responsibility. My responsibility to take care of my mother. My responsibility to take care of I took care of my mother for years, my brother and I, my sister. We took care of her. She was in long-term care. We took care of her. Yeah, I could have siphoned off her assets. Sure, we could have done that. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Those assets are there to take care of her in her long-term care. That's what they're for. She runs out of those assets and we step up and take care of her. We're going to take care of mom. Siphoning off her assets so the government will take care of it? I'm sorry. You're talking to the wrong guy. I have a problem with that.
Amen.
Pardon?
Amen.
Well, at least one said amen. The other ready to throw me out in the street. Yes.
Looking at going and set up the will, the horrible will and the trust. We've got an existing will that was done in a different state. Did they revoke that at that point?
If you have a will, if you're a resident of Washington, you've had a will drafted in another state, you need to have it reviewed. It might not fit the rules of the state of Washington.
Right.
Wills are a state by state issue.
Understood.
Yeah, I would. If
you want to do the other in place of that.
Yeah, it would nullify that will.
Okay.
The most recent dated document is what's honored. All right. That okay? That help?
One more question.
Yeah.
About the retirement accounts, IRAs, 401k.
They pass by beneficiary.
To beneficiary, can you list the trust as the beneficiary, or is it always to...
After your death, yes. But here's the problem. Retirement plans are tax deferred. They're not tax exempt. So when you die and you pass the ownership, somebody's going to pay tax on that. You're not going to defer it through a living trust. You're not going to defer the tax.
So there's really no benefit.
No.
That was my thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, now let me throw something out. Let's say you're worth $600,000. Value of your estate, pension plan, and let's say you have $200,000 in a pension plan. And you have determined that when you die, a third of your estate is going to go to the church. Pension plans are tax deferred, not tax exempt. If my children inherit my pension plan, they pay tax on that. So if I'm going to give a third of my estate to the Lord's work, my church, and it's $200,000, a third of my estate, and I have a pension plan, $200,000, what portion of my estate am I going to give to my church? The pension plan, because churches don't pay tax. The other $400,000 would go to my heirs. The government doesn't get a stinking dime. Delete that from the tape. If I give $200,000 of my cash assets to my church, or even my home, and give the pension plan to my kids, the government's going to get a chunk of that. So give the pension plan to the church. No tax.
For now.
No, there's not going to be tax. Trump will not tax the church. Maybe his brains, not the church. Should I shut up, John?
If there's no more questions.
I will say this. Then I'm leaving. Last Tuesday was the greatest event of my lifetime. Other than my marriage and accepted the Lord. This is a wonderful, the Lord protected America. You think about it. You think about it. The Lord protected America. You're talking the Supreme Court. You're talking about illegal aliens. You're talking about $21 trillion worth of debt. Wake up, people. These protesters don't have a clue what they're doing. They don't have a clue. And I am not opinionated. We have these tapes down here. All this stuff's on that tape. That second CD is the estate planning stuff. It's all here. And if you buy one, I don't care if you reproduce them. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to get it out there. So they're there for you if you want. Thank you. Enjoy the time.
Thank you, Jim.